This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Infinity Sports Network.
I don't think having a one or not having a one, Matt, doesn't mean we can't have success, on offense or as a team.
I think what we have to do is look forward and say, how do we build this team this year? That's what we have to focus on in front of us.
Mike Danger.
You know what, you son of a bitch? This box wine thing is all your fault. I used to have standards. You know how far I've fallen?
I used to have standards. And then I started working with this guy.
What's wrong with you?
Gene Battaglia.
Hello?
Yes, I would like to speak to Mr. Fatass, please.
What?
Yes, is this Mr. Fatass? Mr. Fatass, I watch you on Monday Night Football. Mr. Fatass.
You like that?
You like that? You like that?
Start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Well, a huge win tonight for the Amherst side is a big one as they defeat the Toronto Marlies here at the Blue Cross Arena.
They are not built correctly. You know how you start? You buy out Jeff Skinner.
We'll go far beyond just hot lawnmower talk here in the Sports Bar.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We welcome you back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us this afternoon. Appreciate you listening along at 95.7 FM, AM 950. Maybe you're listening in the free-to-download Odyssey app where you can get all of our podcasts, all of our shows, all of our guest appearances. The video stream is up. You can watch the Sports Bar on our YouTube channel, The Fan Rochester. Don't forget to like and subscribe while you're there. Put a little wind in the sails of the Sports Bar. Also on Twitch, streaming at twitch.tv/TheFanRochester. Your calls are always welcome. Pull up a stool, as we say. 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
I'd like to say there was like a big news item coming out of Buffalo today with Brandon Bean talking, with Sean McDermott talking, with Josh Allen talking, and it felt like kind of a Diggs review slash what about the draft, and this is what every NFL GM is going to do, not tell you what their plan is.
That's right, and I think they all reviewed their talking points before they met with the media and talked with the media. They're all in line. They're all aligned with their comments. No wild card comments. Nothing out of character or anything that would make you be like, oh, whoa. Really, I'm not going to say it was boring because it felt like football season was here when we got to hear from the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback. But as far as like grasping for something, not a lot.
Well, I'm going to give you something because it was kind of a foregone conclusion. That's what I'm trying to say. The fact that Micah Hyde, we all expected, hey, he's just going to announce his retirement. Well, Brandon Bean says that Hyde hasn't made up his decision. So
that's right.
Yeah, so part one of that, does that mean the door is open actually to Micah Hyde coming back? Because I would think if he's coming back, he's not going to sign with another team. Would the Bills want him back? Danger, I'd be okay with that for this reason. He shouldn't be a starter at this point, but I think that the depth at the safety position, if he can offer something and take a reduced role here, dollars.
I think the next move for Micah Hyde, besides his celebrity softball tournament, which we know is still going to happen around the organization, it feels like his next stop is on the sidelines as a coach. That's somebody you would want to be a coach. That's, you know, if the relationship is good with Sean McDermott, that's a guy that, you know, you can take under your wing and turn into But, you know,
well, you can be the coach. I remember the Kirk Coleman, you know, was with the Bills one camp, and he didn't, he might have made the team, but he was never on the field. Right. But he was brought in to teach the system. So who better than Micah Hyde if you're going to have, let's say, Mike Edwards and, you know, Taylor Rapp?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We'll talk to News 8 sports director Thad Brown here in about 20 minutes or so. Get his observations from today in Orchard Park. Do we have our guy?
We have him.
Matt Parrino. Dude, thank you so much, man. Guys. Oh, no, you're fine, man. Listen, we know how busy it's been. A weird week. I mean, we normally talk to you on Tuesday. We had Don Granato being let go and a lengthy press conference from Kevin Adams at 8 into our time. So thank you for making time for us on a Thursday. And we know how busy today was. Man, today felt like football season was back, didn't it, Matt?
Oh, man, a lot of moving parts, getting the old computer out, getting a story out, getting a podcast in, jumping on here with you guys. I mean, it has been a busy day.
Yeah, I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from Brandon Bean? And I guess I could start here, Matt. Was it your question to him? Because we do this thing. We you know, when we have a Bill soundbite, we call it the lie detector. Brandon Bean saying that the Bills don't necessarily need to have a number one receiver on this team.
Anybody believing that?
So, right. Like, that definitely could be a smoke screen. I think it was Marcel that shared the quote with a GIF or a GIF, whatever you want to call it, of like a guy dropping like a smoke bomb.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like, you know, I think they want to add good players. I think the tenor of the conversation, though, was a little bit more geared toward the question that I asked was like, you look around the league and you look at some of the really good young offenses. Like, I'm talking about Detroit, Green Bay, Houston last year before the addition of Stephon Diggs. What you notice about those wide receiver rooms is there isn't really necessarily an alpha. There's a guy that's a really good player. There's a one-ish wide receiver in all of those situations, right? But none of those teams have a bona fide number one. Like, Nico Collins is probably the closest, but I don't think anybody was calling him that, you know, early last season. And so I think that you can go into this draft and you can go at it two ways. Like, you need a guy number, you know, as high up as you can get to try to bring in a player that's going to be the replacement for Stephon Diggs. But what comes with that replacement? You now are going to have a guy that all of a sudden needs all of those targets, all of those looks, and the expectations that come with being a high-end first-round draft pick. And I wonder if the Bills aren't okay with moving in a direction where it doesn't have to be so geared around one person, one player. They can kind of spread this thing around. And I know, and Sean McDermott said it's a matchup league, right? So when defenses are getting ready to play teams, if there's a guy that's a number one weapon in that offense, you're game planning to try to take that guy away. But I think it could also be a little bit difficult to plan for a team when you don't know who's going to be the guy on any given week. But you're right. I mean, it's smokescreen season. I do think the Bills lost a lot with Diggs going, and they're going to try to replace that. How they end up replacing it in the best way, we're going to talk about that ad nauseum for this week.
I mean, I think that's what's interesting, right? Like, I think the expectation would be that if they do take a wide receiver in round one, if they move up and take a wide receiver in round one, that the expectation, I think, from everybody would be that's the guy that's replacing Diggs, and not only replacing Diggs, but replacing Diggs' production. Whereas if you don't go wide receiver in round one and you take an edge rusher, let's say, that's available to you there, or you take, you know, I don't think they would take a safety, but a defensive tackle, whatever it might be, that you can get production, which you're going to be missing with Diggs leaving. You can supplement that production and spread it out over your rookie second round wide receiver and Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And I don't know. Like, I think I'm a lot higher on Dalton Kincaid than everybody else is. I mean, the way that Josh Allen talks about the guy, the way that, you know, Brandon Bean even said today that they had a deal on the table that they loved to move back, but that Dalton was so much the guy that they wanted that he was willing to trade up again and give more assets away. Josh Allen telling that he was like Kevin Costner from the draft movie or whatever. Yeah. Was it Kevin Costner? I don't think it was Kevin Costner.
It was Kevin Costner.
It was. Okay. I'm all messed up on this day. And, you know, what was it, Dalton Kincaid or nothing, kind of like what he did about the linebacker there. So I think that there is a vision in this offense for Dalton Kincaid to be, if not the primary guy, one of them. And maybe it's a couple of elite players that they can kind of build this thing around. And I don't think that if that's the case, the second player isn't on the roster yet. But I don't think you necessarily need to get that in the first round, as evidenced by the fact that, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown went in the third. Tank Dell went in the third. I think even Nico Collins, the day two or day three pick. So there's so many different outcomes here, which I think makes this thing even more intriguing. I mean, I can't wait to get to next Thursday, because I think it's going to be so fun to have those conversations on the other side, knowing a little bit more about how they're going to progress here.
Yeah, Matt, just quick follow-up on that, because I asked Danger this question. We're debating this back and forth. Now I'm going on the assumption that the Bills are going to select a wide receiver somewhere in the first round, okay? The leading receiver in terms of yards and receptions next year for the Buffalo Bills is A, Dalton Kincaid, B, the first round receiver that we don't know yet. C, you, Khalil Shakir. D, somebody I haven't mentioned.
You know, maybe I would definitely throw Curtis Samuel into the mix for the conversation, but I'm going to go with Kincaid. I think he's going to lead the team in receiving yards.
Yeah,
I think he's going to receptions and touchdowns. Like, I just think that's what they got him to become. And, you know, something that I just talked about on the podcast with Ryan that I think is really interesting, like, What was the divide between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen? And I specifically asked Josh today about, like, what's it been like? What have you learned about navigating relationships with players based on the fact that this guy, Stephon Diggs, you were so close with back in 2020, the perception is that relationship deteriorated. And if you turn on ESPN over the last year and a half, every time you turn it on, it's another storyline about him and Diggs not getting along. And like, what have you learned about that? And he's like, listen, it comes down to when you're the franchise quarterback, I'm very comfortable being one of the guys. It's almost like how he approaches every day in the building, how he treats everybody kind of the same. And it's like, when you're the franchise quarterback and you're getting paid, it's more about just being the quarterback. It's about being the leader. And you wonder if maybe from a vibes perspective, that just didn't jive with Stephon Diggs in a certain way. You know, it adds up if you go back to that Cincinnati game with him yelling to him on the sideline. Yep. And now I look ahead to, like, okay, can Dalton Kincaid potentially be that number one, like, from a personality fit perspective? What does Patrick Mahomes have? Travis Kelce, his best friend. What did Tom Brady have? Rob Gronkowski, his best friend. Like, I think you need that synergy with, you know, kind of understanding that weapon, that number one, at a deeper level that I think can potentially take it to the next level.
How much of what the Bills are going to do on a week from tonight has to do with cost control? Because I think about the wide receiver, and I think about the wide receiver market across the league. And, you know, a guy like Justin Jefferson, who's waiting to reset the market with the deal that he's going to get this off season. We know that there's value in taking a defensive lineman or an edge rusher in the first round. If you can control that cost for the first 5 years, much like there is with quarterback, it gives you a bit of an advantage. Does it give you an advantage if you go wide receiver? Is there more value to be seen with that position specifically if you wait into the second round, third round and beyond?
Yeah, it's tough because, like, I mean, I think any way you get a young first, second, third round pick at a position, like, it's cost control. Like, first 4 years are going to be great. And like, you're, what are you sitting here at Josh Allen's 29 year old season here? You're getting into, you know, 4 years from now, you're going to be in a completely different place with your franchise quarterback. I still think that you're going to be in what I think would be considered the prime, but definitely towards the latter end of the prime at that point. So I think getting a wide receiver, whether you get a high-end one, maybe in that second or third tier, you're thinking about this guy's going to be a part of things for the next couple of years, and you want that skill set to be as good as you can find. And it's got to fit all these different – it's got to check all these different boxes. Like Brandon talked about, like, you might watch a guy's highlights. Like, everybody is wowed by Brian Thomas Jr., right? Well, Brandon Bean said the highlights are great for these players, but until you really get them behind closed doors and can understand how good they are, like, from a mental perspective, being able to have the capacity to be able to learn a very complex offense, which Josh Allen and so many people have said about this offense. And it's interesting. I don't know how much it's going to change this year, like how much Brady's changing it. That's something we'll probably get into with him when we get a chance to talk to him. But, you know, that's a big part of this evaluation that we're just not privy to. So that's another thing. When they end up calling this person's name, whoever it is in whatever round it is, they're going to have like been impressed with them, like in the classroom, like in the meeting rooms, which is where they're going to have to really excel to be an impact player next year, no matter what.
And do you think that with that intellect also comes that alpha mentality that walked out the door with Steph Diggs, or do you think they don't necessarily want that? Because I do think that if Diggs brought something to the table, it was a competitive fire that was unmatched in that locker room.
That's a great question. Like, it's such a fine line because they do want that. They do want that, like, competitive dog mentality. I mean, they always talk about that, right? Teammates talk about it. Coaches talk about it. Oh, he's such a dog, right? Like, that's what made Stephon Diggs so popular in the locker room. But with that competitive fire comes some of the, you know, tendencies that we saw from him. And he was so competitive that at times I feel like it was, you know, a bit of a detractor with the way that he, you know, how he expressed that sometimes when things didn't go his way. And really we saw that in Minnesota beforehand. So I don't think it's apples to apples. I don't think that you could sit here and project how somebody's going to behave in that way. I mean, a lot of times, you know, you're going to get somebody in your building and you're going to probably have a different experience with them within the first week than you did over months of all these different meetings, because it's just a different setting. The guy's going to be more comfortable. Like right now, even all this, the due diligence they're doing to learn about these people, you're not really going to know these people till they're like part of your building. So, you know, you could sit there and say that you don't want to add certain traits or characteristics, but it's really hard to figure that out while everybody is like on a job interview, basically the last couple.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard in the Shout podcast. Matt, a little hat tip to your buddy, Ryan Talbot. I think he does a fantastic job keeping track of these top 30 visits because there is a correlation. Top 30 visit, better the chance. It's been shown. So my question is about the guy that visited yesterday, because certainly the number one need on this wide receiver is right at the top for the Buffalo Bills on offense. And you could say wide receiver is the second. You know, you need multiple guys, but there is another need here. They need another running back, Audric Estime coming in, but I don't know, Matt. I mean, that seems too rich for a second round, and I don't know if he's there in round four.
Oh, yeah, I'm not even considering a running back until day three if I'm Brandon Bean. And so if that means that, you know, you bring in a guy, the one thing that's going to hurt his stock from what I've heard, the Notre Dame kid, is he ran like, what, a 4.7 or something like that? And I know that he's not a speed back per se, but who knows? Maybe he does kind of last till day three, and maybe you can kind of take a run at him. I just think that running backs in general, in a class like this that isn't as packed with high-end talent, like you're probably going to be able to get a pretty good running back in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. That there's just too many other things that I think you want to do. With James Cook still 2 years left on his rookie deal, I think you love what you saw of Ty Johnson. We actually have a story up at Syracuse.com today from Donna DeToto, who caught up with Latavius Murray. And it kind of sounded like in that story that he wants to play one more season and that he might wind up back in Buffalo at some point, maybe like a June, July kind of addition, depending on what the Bills do at the position. So I don't know. We'll see which direction they choose to go, but I just, I don't feel running back to be any bit of a priority right now. And I think with, you know, they got the four running back guys. Think about this. Matt Milano coming off of serious injury, and the update we got today was like, yeah, he's progressing, but did that update from Sean McDermott make you think that he's going to be ready for training camp?
No.
It didn't make me think that. So you got him. Bernard didn't play in the playoff game last year against Kansas City. Those two guys right there. You lost Tyrell Dotson. You lost Tyler Medikevich. You have Dorian Williams, who's a nice young player. But after that, like, the depth at linebacker is a real concern. I could see them going linebacker twice in this draft. And, you know, the more times you do that, if you go wide receiver twice, you go linebacker twice, you think an interior offensive lineman at least, maybe a tackle, multiple picks on the defensive line. I think they had that kid from LSU in, Mason Smith, who they're really high in. That could be a day two target. These things start adding up after a while. They have a lot of needs. To me, running back is way down on that list.
So just keep it with the tracker and a couple of projected first rounders that have been through in the last few days. And I'm only bringing them up just in case, because you can't say nothing. None of us know what exactly is going to happen a week from tonight. But would the Bills be served with the services of an edge rusher like a Latu out of UCLA? Or we know that they need help on in the secondary, Cooper DeJean taking a visit from Iowa as well.
If those two guys were on the board, I'm taking Cooper DeJean every time. And the reason being is that, first of all, the medical questions for Latu, I don't love the neck injury. I know he's played two straight years. The production has been great. I'd be a little bit worried about that, especially I'm thinking about this draft class in general at edge, which is, you know, pretty widespread that it's not as strong as most years. I started looking at some big boards for next year, and I looked at one that had the top three edge rushers. The kid from Ohio State are three of the top six prospects in next year's draft. What do the Bills have? They have a first and they have 2 seconds. Right? Like if I'm thinking about like long-term, I'm thinking about 25, 26, 27, I might save the edge this year, the high-end edge, and go high-end edge next year, add a couple of receivers this year, add a couple of receivers next year, and just hope you land on like that really good receiver, and then go out and get, like, if you're going to spend the real premium asset, go get the top edge, get up into the top 10, get one of those difference makers, because that's one thing. To this day, outside of going and signing Von Miller, which, you know, counts, you know, he was coming off a great season. He was really good early that season, but they haven't made a draft pick outside of Ed Oliver at edge rusher, like, you know, on defensive line, but I'm talking about an edge rusher outside of Greg Rousseau. And he just hasn't been the pass rusher that I think would get fans excited about if you're spending a high end first round draft pick. So that's kind of my plan for it. Like, if I was them, I'd wait till next year to do it. And for me, DeJean, like, he checks every single box. The versatility, can play safety corner, comes from that program, which we know how much they love that. You know, he's a very physical player. One of the top things in his scouting report is how good of a tackler he is. And that's what Sean McDermott wants out of his cornerbacks. That's why Christian Benford has played since the beginning. And then Brandon Bean, I asked him about Cooper today, and he's like, don't forget about the punt return ability. And that's something that the Bills, there's a hole there right now. Yeah. Deontay Hardy's gone. Isaiah McKenzie's gone. Naheem Hines is gone. They don't have anybody right now that's the odds-on favorite to win that job. So to me, DeJean would be like just a perfect fit if he somehow lasted at 28, or maybe even prepare for this. Maybe a small trade-up to go get a defensive piece.
Wow, people will lose their minds. Trade-up. Oh, it's going to be the safety. Although I do like DeJean, Aaron. Last one for me, Matt, and sticking with that position. Micah Hyde, where does the story go? And before you came on, Danger and I were debating, and I'm of the opinion that, all right, certainly he's in the decline. Certainly, I don't think he's a starter, but he would bring some value at least to come back in camp. So that'd be question number one. If you did bring him back, would he take a lesser role? Where does the story go here from in regards to Micah Hyde?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that. And you know, the one thing I'd say about him potentially coaching, he said at one point, I can't remember if it was in a press conference or a scrum, that he didn't see himself as a coach when he was done. When he was done, he was going to kind of go away from the game. Maybe he'd coach his kids or something like that, but he just didn't see himself being like able to sign up for that lifestyle. Because that's the big thing, guys. It's a commitment in a completely different way. And when you go, you know who else said it like that too, that I thought definitely had a career in coaching, was Lorenzo. And I think it's kind of why we haven't seen Luke Kuechly kind of get into coaching yet, is because it's just, it's a hard life. So I think I'm leaning towards retirement. I think the fact that they made this big announcement about the softball game going down, even though he's not on the squad, he's talked to Brandon and Sean recently. Doesn't it feel like it's kind of setting up for him to have a big announcement that he's stepping away and retiring as a Bill in a couple of weeks here? And, you know, how cool would that be to be able to share it with, you know, a couple thousand Bills fans? And it sounds like Josh Allen's going to be there. We'll see who comes out. Maybe even some of the former Bills that are no longer here as well. That could be a really cool day down there at, what's it called now? It's not Salem. It's Salem's Field, right?
Yeah, the ballpark in Buffalo. What about play calling? He did mention that today, right? That they haven't made a decision yet on who's going to be calling the defensive plays in the upcoming season.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Jordan Poyer was on with Eric Wood on his podcast. And to be honest with you, a lot of it was stuff that we've already kind of heard. And great interview by Eric. Eric's awesome at that. They talked a lot about golf, his ayahuasca trip, all that kind of stuff. But at the end, they kind of shifted it towards football a little bit, and he was asked about Bobby Babich, and he was like, I love Bobby. He's a big reason why I've had the career that I've had. Goes back to Cleveland with him. He's like, his last line was, it's going to be very interesting to see if he's able to call plays and how long of a leash he has, because Sean really likes to, you know, be a big part of what they're doing defensively. So to me, that kind of said, like, it might be surprising to Poyer if Babich is calling the plays, and McDermott has pushed this thing out so far, again, kind of extending the reel a little bit, saying like, we're not going to decide this until training camp. I think they want to get a look at how he's able to do it in some of those call it periods in training camp and practice. So at this point, I mean, it's anybody's guess as to what this is going to end up being. And I think, like, I don't know, if I'm Bobby Babich, I think during the interview process, I would have wanted some type of assurance that I was going to be able to call plays, just because he had other opportunities, and maybe, you know, getting away from Sean and going to another team would give him that definitive, especially in Green Bay, where it's Matt LaFleur, an offensive coach. It would have been his defense. It would have been his side of the ball. Obviously there's a relationship there with Bobby and Sean going back a very long way. But it's going to be very interesting. And it's something that, like, okay, if Bobby does get the chance to call the defense, what happens if they struggle? I mean, this is a new look defense. It's not going to be the one that we saw last year with all these veterans, especially on the back end. So there's probably a lot of different factors that Sean's kind of weighing before he makes the final decision.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard Shout Podcast. Tell everybody, I think you just did one, right? Shout Podcast. And then what we can read here leading up to the draft, Matt.
Yep, we got three episodes for this week. We had Dane Brugler, who released The Beast this week. Caught up with him for 30 minutes, all Bills stuff. So that's a really cool conversation. Yesterday, we did some under-the-radar Bills targets. And we also talked with John Scott, the new sports director at Channel 2 in Buffalo.
Oh, nice.
He was on the show. And then we just finished today reacting to all the press conferences, so there's more at the YouTube channel and all the audio platforms.
Thanks for making time for us today, bud. Talk to you next week.
Anytime, guys. See you in a couple days.
You got it. Matt Perino, covering the Buffalo Bills, the Syracuse Post, Standard the Shout podcast as well. Great stuff, and great getting his observations on a busy day in Orchard Park today with the media availability of Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, and others. Also, Thad Brown there, he's going to be joining us next.
Yeah, he's just getting in the car, so kind of, you know, breaking things down. Breaking news, if we may hit the sounder here.
Oh, breaking news.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Now, the not breaking news here is that you already knew this was happening. The Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City. That is now official. Mm-hmm. But again, that's not the breaking news. The breaking news is, what are they going to be called?
Oh, we have a name.
Well, Greg Wyshynski reporting that, well, first of all, the Utah or Salt Lake City, they're going to be Utah. However, they're going to give themselves a little time. According to Wyshynski, you're number one. They're going to go the Washington football team route. It's just going to be Utah hockey team. You're number two.
Hockey team or club?
Utah HC.
Hockey club.
Hockey club. Don't they do that with, like, the
British Premier League, yeah.
Football, soccer. They have an MLS team, too, in Salt Lake, yeah. So
they are Real Salt Lake, I want to say. Yeah. Royal Salt Lake.
Yeah. So Wyshynski's saying that could be official tomorrow. The colors could come next week.
Oh, we're going to have some hot uniform talk. Hot uniform talk from the NHL. Sign me up.
Do you match up with what the Jazz do? Kind of go with that mountain.
Be honest
color?
With you, yeah. I have no idea what the Jazz do with their uniforms. Well, I have no idea what that is anymore. What is it? There's no consistency to their uniform. They're just a giant mess. They used to have consistency. They got away from the consistency. Now I have no idea what the Jazz are doing. So what we'll know is that it'll be a little bit more consistent, right? The NHL, you basically have your home, your away, and your alternate, and that's about it.
Yeah, the other piece of news here is, so tomorrow, there's going to be a press conference in Phoenix at 11:30 their time. For what, you ask? Gary Bettman and Alex Marullo, the guy who just sold the team, are going to be sitting on some plot of land. And apparently, if this whole thing gets approved and there is arena, Marullo still is approved as an owner. He's going to get the team. That's what they're going to tell everyone. But they're basically going to shift here. All right, can you get him the arena?
Oh, so this is going to be a plea on a piece of land for, this is where we want the arena to be. Can we get this done?
Yep. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley telling Wyshynski that he, Marullo, has already been approved as an NHL owner.
Of course. He has been. He's been this whole time.
Right. So
it's just that Arizona doesn't want to do business with this guy.
Right.
Okay. We'll see how that goes. But they're going to get a team again eventually, even if it doesn't happen within the next few years. Salt Lake City stuff is exciting for next season. I can't wait for that. Let's get to Thad Brown next. News 8 Sports Director. Got more Bills talk on the way here on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.